CPS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe. I'm a
survivor. I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor, Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving nonstop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
Ladies and gents, welcome back once again. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. Yeah, got a good show for you guys. Hope you are ready to enjoy it. We will be recapping a big performance from the Pittsburgh Steelers and our very own Patrick Peterson as well. Big time win at home against the Green Bay Packers. An early look ahead to week 11, a divisional matchup. The Pittsburgh Steelers travel to the Cleveland Browns. Browns with a huge win as well. Nice win. I mean, I was looking at that ball game against the Baltimore Ravens early in the fourth quarter. I'm like, it's a wrap. I walked away, came back 6-7 minutes later. Cleveland Browns had the lead. I don't know how that happened, but it happened. And right now they're riding on a high. Exactly. So there's a lot to definitely talk about this show, get you guys fired up about what we just witnessed and what we will see this upcoming weekend against the Cleveland Browns. It will be a huge game for Pat P and the rest of the Steelers. So let's see exactly how he feels and his thoughts coming up next. Pat P, before we get ready for the Cleveland Browns ball game, we got to recap what we just witnessed this past Sunday. Alumni weekend. There were a lot of alum.
Where were you?
In town. Huh?
Honda.
I was in Tallahassee watching somebody get kicked in the mouth.
Who y'all played? Miami?
Yeah, we played Miami.
Oh, yeah, that's a big one.
We turned them in some, they were a tornado, one of them little small tornadoes.
Tornadoes are a little bit more devastating than a hurricane, Cap.
I'm saying it's one of those tornadoes where you just kind of still drive. You really ain't tripping about it. You know what I mean? So we kind of turned them into it was a windstorm, safe to say. It was just a little windstorm, dust storm. That's all. Took care of business.
Tropical storm.
I didn't get a chance to come check y'all out, but the rabbit foot was still in the building, even though I don't think a rabbit foot is lucky. They say it's lucky, and y'all had it on y'all side. Packers recap. Steelers win 23-19. My prediction was 21-13. The most important thing that I was right about, the Pittsburgh Steelers winning. Pat P, you guys are finding ways to win. And your former team, the Minnesota Vikings in 2022, y'all found ways to win. Are you guys starting to become a version of what you were a part of last year with the Vikings and finding ways to win in regards to late one score games?
I'll say this. I won't say we're a version of the 2022 Minnesota Vikings. I will say this. Mm-hmm. I've been blessed to be around some great coaches that put us in positions to understand how important those moments are and also call the right plays to have the ability to close out the games.
Yeah.
With Ed Donatell and T.A. Terrell Austin, they just have a knack on calling the right call at the right time, you know? So, like I said, I won't necessarily say it's a version of that team, but I will say that I am blessed to have two defensive coordinators and be on two teams that really put themselves in those situations throughout camp, throughout OTAs, two-minute drives, seven shots, et cetera. So when we are put in those situations, it won't be nothing new to us.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, NFL best, 6-0 in one-score games this year. And Pat Peterson, he is 17-0 the past two years. Did you know that stat?
I found out that stat this morning by my guy, Eric. He did text me that.
Yeah, Eric is a stat guy. How he even found that out, I don't know. But you 17-0. in one score games the last two seasons. Man, that's dope. Hey,
yeah.
I don't know if it's just you or just the team, but whatever it is, it's a good thing to be a part of. I'll say that. So whatever it is you're doing, you keep doing it.
Will do, my guy.
And that's a full season, by the way. That's a full two seasons. So currently you're in the midst of the third season.
Yeah. Wow.
That's big. That's big. So looking at the game, ebbs and flows as it is weekly, it was basically the same ending the past 2 weeks. But What is the key to slam the door shut with interceptions as the time is expiring? You guys are finding ways to kind of close the door with game-winning interceptions. Like, take us through that.
Like I said, just TA just calling the right call at the right time, not giving Jordan Love and the Green Bay Packers that look, all year or all game, and just holding it in the arsenal just for the right time in a pivotal moment in that game, to help us win that ball game. You know, so we were just obviously it was the last play of the game, so guys knew that, you know, the ball had to go to the end zone. We had everybody pretty much in the secondary, back seven guys, linebackers included, backed up a little bit looser than what we be originally on that call, and just pretty much reading and watching the quarterback and reacting off, you know, once he threw the ball. And Casey did a great job of, you know, not taking a bait, standing his ground, doing his responsibility. Mm-hmm. And that's what helped us, you know, capture that interception and win that ball game.
So in the ball game, for our listeners, our viewers that actually watched the ball game and saw highlights, Pat P, you know, he was involved in two major plays that became big news, you know, throughout the weekend of play. But I want to talk about three, right? But let's highlight the block field goal, right? Mm-hmm. Break it down for us. And how did you take you back to when you were a rookie? And, Mike Tomlin got you to jump, because I remember in the Cleveland Brown game some weeks ago, you jumped offside on the extra point.
That was the San Francisco 49ers.
No, that was Cleveland. I was there.
I jumped off in Cleveland too?
You jumped. Well, dang, you jumped offside in San Francisco? Well, you jumped offside in Cleveland for sure. I know for sure. Because They went for two.
Oh, yeah. They dang sure. Hey, man, the snapper was messing around with the ball, man. He can't lift up the ball, then hike it.
So that's why you jumped outside.
That's a snapper infraction.
That's why you jumped outside in Cleveland?
Because I saw the ball move.
But the referees ain't see the ball. So
referees don't want to see the ball. Well, I got to watch what I say. I'm not trying to get no $20,000 fine.
Dang, it's a $20,000 infraction.
That's what Deontay, which is ridiculous. That's what Deontay got fined off, voicing his opinion.
Well, keep your mouth closed. You were offside and you were wrong. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. How about that? I was wrong.
Hey, so what's the whole, without telling your secret, what is the secret?
Yeah, I tell you what, they better get a hand on me. I tell you that much. They talking about my age. I'm 33 years old.
Ain't quick no more. You ain't got no squirrel like quickness no more.
Man, listen, Kat, I didn't even have to dive to block that.
Man, it looked like you could have caught it and run.
That's what I'm trying to say. I really could have just took it off his foot if I wanted to. But right.
Yeah,
we'll say that secret for another day. But yeah, man, just coming off the edge, the wing. He must didn't check my resume. He didn't get his hands on me.
I told you you slow. They keep calling you old.
Yeah, I got around it. That's just another one bites the dust.
So, hey, but one thing I'll say about this, what we got to realize and emphasize, usually a lot of guys, and you know this, Pat P, they get complacent or get relaxed during the extra point.
Mm-hmm.
As rushers or as blockers. And that says a lot about you fighting for on a play where most people would just fans don't really watch as much, even though extra points are important and a little more difficult than used to be years past. But a lot of people be like, man, they're going to make that. What are we rushing for? You know what I'm saying? And right. That was a key missed opportunity as well. If you look at the Florida ball game. So that's just that you always rushing. You always trying to find a way. Is that that's Matt, what you're trying to do?
You know me. When I'm on that football field, I'm going to give it my all no matter what. And that's just another opportunity for me to make a play for our defense.
How many block field goals you got?
I want to say I might be miscount. It's four or five. I can't remember. I know I got one against Seattle. San Francisco, the Eagles, this one. And I know I'm missing one. I think I got San Fran twice, Eric, man, if I'm not mistaken.
Our stat guy, Eric, will find out for you.
Yeah, I think I got San Fran twice.
Oh, so this is what you do. You're a block kicker.
Man, I'm a ball player, man. Just put me on the field.
Okay. All right. So the second play I want to talk about, the deflected pass in the end zone that led to an interception by Keanu Neal. What was the it looked like you were man to man. Was that man?
No, man, we was not in man. We was in a little too high safety, did a great job of disguising it. And like you thought we was a man.
That was a good disguise.
Route, I have to take that route up, you know, in the area of the field that we was in 20 yard line. I think it was at 20, 22, somewhere in there. Close red zone fringe area somewhere in there. But anyway, knowing because they've been setting that route up the whole game. They was throwing outs on me like little speed outs. They threw like 2-3 speed outs on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I told coach, I was like, man, this ain't my first time seeing this movie. They're gonna try out and up sooner or later. Like it's
oh, you said it. What coach you told that?
Coach Grady Brown. I said they're just setting them out and up. I said that's all they're doing, setting them out and up.
Yeah,
but little do they know, those little outs, I ain't worrying about that. I know you want the big play.
Yeah.
So
with
me, having my responsibility, driving on the receiver upfield shoulder, he ended up turning it back up. Immediately, I knew that the ball was going to come to him because he's their go-to receiver. Like he's their guy.
Christian Watson.
Christian Watson. And once I got my eyes back around and understanding the field position that I was in, I knew it would be tough for me to get 2 feet in.
Yep.
And I knew the defense we was in. I knew we had a safety over the top of me. Mm. So I didn't want to swipe the ball at him.
Oh, you purposely knocked it up.
Yeah, I wanted to put it up at least enough airtime to where someone can come get it because I knew what defense we was in.
Yeah, okay. Oh, you look a little savvy out there, savvy vet.
Hey man, I ain't play this in the games for no reason.
Hey, that was a huge play because not only did you take points off the board, you got the football back.
Yeah.
You got the football back for your offense, man. That was huge. And they can say whatever they want to say about the defense. You guys always are finding ways to create turnovers. Fumbles, deflections. Man, that it becomes a habit. It becomes a good habit to have because the ball, that Wilson is fine to you guys. So, and oh, by the way, so our last episode last week, we said if you caught an interception against Green Bay, we were going to take 2 fans to Waffle House. Now, you didn't necessarily catch the interception, but you created turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
So people were chiming in and said that should count as a Waffle House visit for Pat Pete. And I kind of agree with them. So what
I bet you do.
Yep. So the thing is, though, Pat Pete, as I stated, you got to eat. You're not going to just sit and chill and drink a beverage.
It got to be some give or take here, Matt. I didn't get an interception, but I'm willing to go.
No, we're not doing that. No.
What you mean? I didn't. What was the deal? State the deal again. State the deal.
We can't do that to our fans. We can't do that to our fans.
State the deal.
The deal was you catch an interception, which is a turnover. Is the interception a turnover? Yes or no?
Yes.
So did you cause a turnover? Did you create a turnover?
No. Huh? You said caught an interception. That's what you said.
I don't like what we're doing right now. So you're trying to tell me we're not going to Waffle House?
I just want you to reinstate what the deal was. Just say what you said.
I'm saying what the fans said. The fans said that should count as a Waffle House visit. That's what they said.
I will go to Waffle House. I'm telling you, we will pick the 2 fans. I'm coming.
No, you're not just going. You're eating.
But, Mac, the deal was if
I don't know, but why you got to say but? I don't like when you have a but in the beginning. No, you're eating. So you're going to not eat with the fans? That's what you're not going to do.
Having a nice OJ with a plastic.
No, that's not eating. That's not doing. See?
We're
going to do a vote. We're going to do a vote right now. Yeah, he didn't catch an interception, but because he created 2 turnovers.
You just said you don't like starting sentences with but. And you just started the second.
You said it.
But.
He created 2 turnovers. Should Patrick Peterson go to Waffle House and eat food? Yes or no? Chime in. We're going to let the fans. So this is what we're going to do. It's a fan voting system. We're going to allow the fans to determine if you're going to order a food, a meal, a hot dish with some debris, waffle debris in there, and eat some from Waffle House with that hot debris. Hey, man, I know you whatever, like waffle.
Hey, man, whatever Waffle House we go to, you better do it like Sierra, Russell did Sierra, man. You got to rent it out, renovate it. I'm not renovate it, rent it out. Make sure the old Waffle House clean, man.
We're going to go to a good one. Don't worry. Don't worry. We got, and we're going to pick two.
Another thing, I never even seen a Waffle House here in Pittsburgh. Do they even have them here?
No, we're going to do Hot Atlanta. That's even better in the South. Yeah, because they ain't got nothing in the North. And Waffle House need to have more in the North. I don't even think they think it's a Southern thing, but they can make a lot of money up top, up North. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to let the fans. So we'll find out the results next week on next week's episode. Are you going and are you ordering food to eat? Should he order food to eat?
Is that part? Should I go is the main question.
No, we already know you're going. No.
But I said I'm going to go anyway.
You said it. So now the vote is, should Patrick Peterson order a meal and eat with us? And we break bread. Right.
Yo,
we'll let the fans.
I don't think that's fair. I'm bidding over.
I'm trying to figure
and
out.
Saying that I'm going to go, although I did not intercept the ball.
I'm trying to figure out why you won't let the fans vote, though.
We'll see what they say.
So the fans.
There's 10 Waffle Houses here in Pennsylvania.
There are 433 Waffle Houses in Georgia. Wow, that's amazing. Damn. Hey, that's amazing.
That's crazy.
Man, we got most in the country.
Yes. Waffle Houses.
We're going to find us a good one. Yes, sir, Jack. And I'm going to get on the jukebox.
There's no way you can find a good one out of 433.
They got 185 and 4. I'm going to play a tune on the jukebox. I know you like Lil Wayne. Play some Lil Wayne for you on the jukebox.
Yeah, that's
what
guy.
I'm going to do for you. Yes. While you eat your good hot waffle. I like my waffle, too.
That's crazy.
I like skin waffle.
433. Yeah. Waffle.
What kind of waffle? You like your waffle a little hard or a little soft? I like a light skin waffle. I like mine light. What kind of waffle you like?
When I cook my own waffle, I like it crispy, man. Like a crispy.
Crispy.
What you mean light? What you mean light? I don't understand that
language. A light waffle. See, you don't know the terminology for waffle.
What's a light waffle?
It's soft, super soft. It's a light
skin
waffle.
What's a heavy waffle? What's a heavy
waffle? When they hard, they crispy, darker, brown. I like a light skin waffle. You like yours dark brown, hard.
So when you like crispy. You like that. You like that microwave Eggo. You don't like the oven.
From Waffle House, I like mine light. I like a light skin waffle. Shout out
you like it. You like it all nice and rubbery.
It ain't rubbery. See, that's the thing about that Waffle House waffle batter. It ain't rubbery.
Bro, I gotta change your eating habits, man.
What?
Your eating habits are horrible.
Says the man who like tropical Sprite.
I can drink a tropical Sprite, but you talking about a waffle?
A light skin waffle,
bro. What? You getting a waffle that's half done?
It's a light waffle. You order it at Waffle House. I want my waffle light. I tell them, like, give me a light skin waffle. Like,
man, that's a half done waffle. That's what it sounds like to me.
I bet. Listen.
Bro, you try it. Man, listen, man.
What?
Light waffle?
Yeah, light waffle. Light skin waffle. What's wrong with you with that good debris, too? That debris hit good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm trying
like
to put
a light
you...
waffle.
Yeah.
The one that's not crispy, the one that's wet and moist and half done. That's
light skin, because like. It's lighter. Give me a light skin waffle. Light skin waffle. All right. The last play I want to talk to you about.
So the dough still be in there and everything?
It's light. It ain't crispy. You like yours crispy. Like a little hard, like crunchy when you chew and you walk.
I don't want it like that. I just want a light crisp. I don't want it dog.
I like mine light. I don't need no crisp.
If I had my knife on it,
I bet people would say light skin, light waffles from Waffle House are the best ones with that warm syrup. Well, you gonna get one?
Waffles, man. That's you.
You gonna get one?
Get your waffle cooked, man, before you get sick.
I know. I eat different from other places, but when I go to Waffle House, give me a light skin waffle. Yes, sir. Let's talk about the blitz. You're starting to blitz a little more too. You're getting better at your blitz concept.
Boy, been getting active.
You've been working on that.
Hey, man, I've been working on a lot of things, coach.
Yeah, but on the final drive, it was, you know, they sent you on the blitz. Was that? Are y'all still running Sam Fire Zone?
Nah, we ain't running no Sam.
That's the problem right now. I need to talk to TA. Got to put Sam Fire Zone in, and that's when that nickel come off the edge. But he's the inside guy. The backer is the edge rusher. You come right off TJ's hip inside. They ain't even gonna see you. You come
so
through.
So we got that. That's basically what we just ran.
What the call is not Sam though. It should be Sam Fire Zone.
No, it ain't Sam. But that's basically what we just ran. I came off TJ butt inside.
Yeah, that's Sam.
He got opened up. Yeah.
The legendary Dick LeBeau created it in 1988 is Sam Fizone. Y'all now might.
We ain't calling him Sam, coach.
Why not?
Just here. I don't know.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot you did just get there. You figure out from TA why it ain't called Sam Fizone. But figure that out, because I don't understand. It should be called Sam's in honor of great Dick LeBeau. But so were you the nickel?
Yeah, I was a nickel on that play.
Yeah, so how you enjoying your role? You bet the nickel.
Yeah, I'm loving my role, man. I'm still getting my feet wet because, as you know, Mac, this is really my full first season going through the different positions, playing safety, playing nickel, playing penny, playing outside. Mm-hmm. So I'm really still just getting my feet wet, but I'm enjoying it at the same time because at this stage of my career, you know, I wanted to be more involved into game plans. I wanted to be around the ball more. Like, you know, I won't necessarily say it got boring just being on the outside, you know, kind of understanding what guys just going to the left side of the field and just lining up guarding the receiver. Like, I just felt like, you know, I done that. Like, now with this being the latter part of my career, I want to be able to do more before I finish. Mm-hmm. And the Pittsburgh Steelers have given me that privilege to go out there and line literally everywhere, giving me the leisure to be a ball player. And mm-hmm. that's what I love the most about being here and being in the position that I am in, to not only, you know, lead by an example, but teach these guys the future, like Joey, Elijah, you know, just these younger guys, Corey Trice, you know, like these young guys that's going to be, you know, the cornerstone of this defense. When I'm gone, I just want to continue just showing them the way. So when it's their turn, mm-hmm. like, man, oh man, we saw Pat P do this. We saw him do it this way. We saw him study this way. We saw him take care of his body this way. It worked for him. Hell, why not try it? You know, so yeah. That's what I want to continue to do, man. But I'm just extremely blessed to be here as a Pittsburgh Steeler and be with Coach Tomlin, man, because he really, really believe in me. We have, you know, great candid conversations almost each and every day, every time we run across each other. So it's just a great opportunity to be here with him, with Grady Brown, who was my secondary coach at LSU my sophomore year, and culture that they have here. Like, it's just real. It's just real.
No doubt. It looked like you guys are having fun. That's great to see. It looked like you guys are starting to have fun, not just on the defensive side, but the offensive side as well. And speaking of the offense, y'all found the running game. The running game has changed, and I'll say this from afar. The running game has changed, I think, since we started to see Broderick Jones more involved in the offense. They love running behind that right side. I don't want to talk about a scouting point, but when they watch film, you're going to know where the Pittsburgh Steelers love running behind that right side. And 77 been doing a heck of a job, boy. That young fella, boy.
Listen. Hey, like you said, man, I had a conversation with Meek doing introduction. I said, man, this is one hell of a rookie draft class that Omar put together, boy.
No question.
I said, these guys are not only playing, but they're playing significant roles. But in the midst of us being, you know, who we are, you know, like mm-hmm. Joey, you know, growing up being who we are, you know, who he is, you know, taking those number one receivers now. You got Broderick entering the starting lineup. And like you said, the last 2 weeks, I feel like it's been a difference. You got Nick Herbig, who's been contributing not only on defense, but on the special
teams. Yes, sir. Don't forget Keanu Benton.
I mean, I can go on. I mean, just the
draft. I still want to see you, Darnell, get more passes, get more targets.
He going to get more passes, Matt, because we got plans and places to be, and if we want to be where we want to be at the end of the year, he going to come available for us. Watch and see what I tell you.
Hey, I'm just trying to figure out, just like, Matt, just the, Matt, okay, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to be quiet.
You've been there before, Matt.
I'm gonna be quiet. I just want to see it, but okay, you're right. I'm gonna trust you. But Broderick Jones, hey, Broderick, boy, he be cleaning, he be clean sweeping, boy. He cleaning that flow on that right side, boy.
And the crazy thing about it, Broderick is naturally a left tackle.
I know, talent. talent. He ain't playing around. You know, he come from Georgia where they used to run that football, boy. So
he loves it.
Yeah.
Athlete. 315 athlete. That's what he is.
That's what he is. And I like his swag. He look good in his uniform too. He take pride in how he look in his uniform. That tell me he got a little athleticism in his game. But the last two ball games, man, averaging 185 yards on the ground compared to the first seven games, only 79. This past weekend, you had Warren, the microwave. He go for 15 for 1-on-1 to touchdown. Najee went for 16-82 in a touchdown. When you're running the football like that, that will provide a sense of balance. And they were the catalyst for the offensive production. So that's a bright spot. And you're going to have to lean on that running game as well, especially when you get into November football. You know, cold weather outside, playing in that AFC North, the running game is going to be imperative. So that's a bright thing to see. But there was a lot of good things that happened Sunday. But one big blow happened, you know, the loss of Quan Alexander. Suffered a torn Achilles, man. How big of a blow is that? And you already lost Holcomb. The week before.
That's a real big blow because, you know, going into the season, I was just so confident in the three-man rotation that we had at the linebacker position with E-Rob and Quan and Holcomb and also Mark Robb just being that special team bell cow, but also a reliable guy that we can call on at the linebacker position when need be. But that was a big blow for us, man. Back-to-back weeks to lose, basically our quarterback, you know, of our defense. We know E-Rob he's our base linebacker. He's the one that pretty much, you know, line everybody up. But offenses are not in, you know, 21 personnel nowadays. You know, guys coming out at, you know, ponies and 11 personnel, things like that, because it's a passing league now.
Yeah.
You know, so missing those two guys is going to be huge. But at the same time, E-Rob has played a ton of football, won Super Bowls. Like, he understands how important, you know, communication is. So, you know, we're losing, you know, obviously guys that's able to come in and have a rotation. And, you know, at a standpoint, because, you know, those guys been with us throughout training camp, OTAs, mini camp. So they understand the defense, the terminology, how to line guys up and this, that, and other. So that's the biggest blow. But, you know, I just, man, this game is just so tough. I love the game so much, but at the same time, man, it's just so hurtful to see guys who put in so much to the game, you know, lose the rest of their season to an injury, to where it would just, when I'm looking at the film, he was just literally just making a simple cut.
Yeah, man.
To be able to put himself in position to make a play. And, you know, then he went down and wasn't able to get back up, you know, so love the game dearly. But you hate to see guys go down like that on simple injuries.
No question. And I wonder what they will do in regards to depth or the lack thereof. Maybe a guy like Herbig maybe float around a little bit. I don't know if that's something that he can handle, but you're going to have to try to add some depth in the inside, in the backer spot. So let's see exactly what TA and the staff has in place. Well, we're going to take a quick break. If you guys got time, go ahead and warm up a light waffle. Come back. It's time to get ready for this Browns, Cleveland Browns recap. Why you shaking your head? I'm trying to tell you that light skin waffle decent. You tripping.
Man, I don't know how I've done waffle, man.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
We back. Pat P, Cleveland Browns preview. You played in Cleveland before, right?
Yeah, I played in Cleveland once.
All right. What was your reaction? You guys played at the same time. But when you heard they came back to beat the Baltimore Ravens, what was your reaction? They trailed by 15 to the Ravens before making that comeback to win, by the way.
Man, honestly, I was surprised because walking out of the locker room, I think I was talking to D.Y., Daryl Young, you know, our player developer. I guess that's his role.
D.Y. is our cousin, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I remember you telling me that. But
yeah, he got
I remember walking out of the locker room because, like you said, not necessarily scoreboard watching when we playing, but I saw the scoreboard pop up. I think it was like 31-17 at the time. I
can't at one time, yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
I can't remember exactly something. What it was, but it was a big win with like 11 minutes ago.
Yes.
Okay, that one's over.
Yeah.
So like, so we get in the locker room and D.Y. was like, man, yeah, Baltimore just went down. I was like, huh? How? Mm-hmm. What? He was like, yeah, the last minute field goal.
Yeah.
And, you know, just all we can do is control what we can control. But that was definitely a shocker seeing, you know, and not even that, going back to what the Baltimore Ravens have been doing the last couple of weeks as far as with their offense. They've been closing out games. They've been putting up a lot of points. The defense nine touchdowns thus far this season. So they've been playing very, very stout football. So I was very, very surprised and shocked to see those guys go down being up. What is that? 16.
Yeah, it was up 15 points. And 15 Cleveland
points
was like
going to four.
Yeah, like 0-59 in that type scenario, you know, being down that much in the fourth quarter. And defense made a few plays and they capitalized. They scored a touchdown, which was huge. And that led to that come from behind victory for the Cleveland Browns. And now it makes the game Sunday so much more important because now it's a traffic jam of like teams, you know what I mean? In the division, you know, Baltimore has three losses. You guys have three losses, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Cleveland has three losses as well. So this is a game between you two guys. You guys are going to really look back at in towards December football and say, yo, that was it. That's what we needed. You know what I mean? So you got to take advantage of the opportunity. You guys played Cleveland already before. You know, that's the game that Nick Chubb got injured. They had Deshaun Watson. Is there anything you can take away from the first meeting, you know, against the Browns as you guys get prepared for the second meeting?
Well, that was what, week two?
I think that was week two or three.
I'm going to go with week two.
Yeah. Okay.
But what I can take back from that game, obviously we know they lean and depend heavily on their run game.
Yes.
Getting a familiar face back in there with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt that they can rely on, a guy who's been in the system that understands the terminologies and the checks and the protections and things like that. We know he's going to pretty much be used just how they use Nick Chubb for the most part with the stretch game, because we know they are really, really, they like to get the ball on the perimeter. And Nick Chubb is one of those guys, you know, they have a really good run offensive scheme with Nick Chubb in that stretch scheme, because they have really good downhill runners and also runners who can find that vacated gap, that open gap, or that defensive back operated gap, you know. So, and that's what most teams want to do anyway. They want to try to put the run game on the defensive backs and try to make those guys tackle. And Cleveland do a really, really good job of scheming that up. So they just got a familiar face back in the run game with Kareem Hunt. Mm-hmm. We know we're going to have our hands full. We know they're going to try to feed him often and early and then try to get the play action rolling and try to take their shots. You know, that's just how the Cleveland Browns get down, and also just rely on their defense on continuing to be who they are, which is very, very stout at the moment.
Do you think we could see Joey Porter Jr. following Amari Cooper seeing that he had that assignment against a guy like DeAndre Hopkins for this game Sunday?
Come on, Matt.
What?
Come on, Matt.
What?
You got to wait and see. You know, you know who's watching this podcast right now. You got to wait and see, man. It's a game.
Hey, I thought we're together
yet, but you're going to have to wait and see like everybody else.
I thought it was just me and you talking. I forgot. We are being recorded. Hey, you're right. My bad. I was like, what are you talking about? Come on, Mac. What you mean? Are we talking football, ain't we? I forgot we've been recorded. Shoot.
Yeah, we'll do that another like 3-4 years when I'm done with it.
I'll wait and see then. I'll wait and see. We're gonna find out regardless if he is or he ain't. So that's one thing. But
hey, you're right. You're gonna find out early.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, other news. Transition. All right. Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
Right? Playing pretty good football. He had a pretty good game on last weekend against the Baltimore Ravens. And, you know, he's been out with the injury.
I will say he had a pretty good second half. Well, I mean,
overall,
he ended up finishing well. But that first half was a little like,
hey. Yeah. And now with him starting to emerge to potentially be a big-time contributor for their offense, you know, it makes the offense a little more deadly. So, you know, you didn't play against Deshaun quite a bit. And the first game, he didn't really do a lot against you guys. They kind of ran the football more so than anything. I think that's the mindset with their team anyway. I think they're a run-first team, play good defense, make plays in the aerial attack here or there. But they run first and play good defense. But, you know, Deshaun and this team right now, you know, clearly sweeping the Browns will be huge for you guys. But how big of a game is this for the Pittsburgh Steelers, Pat Pete?
Nah, it's a huge game because we're in November football. I don't give a damn who we're playing. We could be playing an NFC opponent. We could be playing a DFC opponent. It don't matter because we're in November football. This is a time where you start to separate yourself. Mm-hmm. This is a time where pretenders and contenders start to identify themselves. You know what I mean? And we have places that we plan to be, you know, so we don't care who's in our way. We're just focusing on the next team, and it just happened to be who we're playing?
Cleveland
Browns. You know, yep. So it just happened to be the Cleveland Browns, and we're just ready to rock and roll to get this game plan on Wednesday and see what we got to do to win this ball game on Sunday.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this much, in regards to the defensive play, these two teams are led by outstanding elite defenders and T.J. Watt and Miles Garrett.
Edge rushers,
football players that happen to be edge rushers. Yeah. And there are a lot of folks that feel like Miles Garrett is the best defensive player in the NFL. They're throwing Max Crosby name out there, but people keep overlooking T.J. Watt. I don't know why. They like, it's like the boredom effect. Like, you done seen it done from him so many times. It's like, it's not new. But stop that. Stop overlooking T.J. Watt. And I'll say this. This might be that the defensive player of the year game. You know, when you have that defining moment, that kind of catapults you into to become the favorite of that award. This might be that game where either guy has an opportunity to create separation. I think right now, T.J. Watt, if you had to give the award today, not being biased, but I think he's been the most dominant, impactful playmaker on the defensive side. The National Football League. I think so. I don't know if he has the most sacks. I don't know if he has the most, you know, turnovers from all the candidates that are in that conversation. But consistency is who he is. Anytime a big play happens, he has something to do with it. He's always sacked. He had a sack again. He's going to get at least one sack a game.
Well, he get a sack every game.
Minimum. Yeah, the bare minimum, at least one. I ain't saying a half. He's going to get a four. That's the bare minimum on a bad day. So I can't wait to see these two guys go toe-to-toe because the first game, it was all about T.J. Watt. Like, T.J. Watt made more plays than Miles Garrett, and that led to you guys winning that ball game. You know, turnover, touchdowns, things like that defensive side was able to do. So, with that being said, prediction time. Boy, this is going to be one of them, one of them old slow punch fest, boy.
This going to be that Ali Joe Frazier.
Man, this right here you talk about. I don't even know what the total going to be for the ball
game. Rumble in the jungle.
I think the total going to be in the 30s for this game right here. That's what I see. Now, y'all been scoring in the 20s lately. But these are – because the first game – what was the first game? What was the score of the first game?
Oh, man.
Eric, what was the first goal? The total – I told you the total is going to be in the 30s. It's 37 in the hook. That's the total.
First game, 26-22.
Yeah. So Myles Garrett and Danielle Hunter has 11 sacks, and TJ has 10 and a half. So the first game was 26-22. So y'all surpassed that total, 26-22. All right. Yeah. So this game right here. Oh,
I got it.
You got it.
Hey, this is going to be one of them weird games, too. Watch what I tell you. Look at the score. My prediction, BMAC prediction, Pittsburgh 17, Cleveland 12. Cleveland 12. Eric, didn't I give a prediction last week, too? I said it's going to be like at least two turnovers forced by the Steelers defense, and I said Pat was going to get an interception. One of those interceptions. Didn't I say that?
You did.
I'm gonna go up with my prediction. So Pittsburgh 17, Cleveland 12. Pittsburgh will get at least four sacks. At least four sacks. And you guys will create at least two turnovers. Eric, you got that right. 17-12.
Four Pittsburgh sacks. Win.
Four sacks. Two turnovers.
Two turnovers. I like it.
Yeah. That's what we're gonna do right there, Pat P.
Okay.
That's what we're going to do right there, Pat P.
I like it.
So, two turnovers are going to happen. It's up to you if you get one. That's all I can tell you.
It is. It is.
That's up to you.
It's always up to me.
It's up to you. You get one. I did my job. I just did my job right there.
Yep.
Pat P.
Hey. Put it down. Write it down. Yeah.
Cleveland, 6-3. Somebody's going to be 7-3, and somebody's going to be 6-4. Yep. And by my numbers, my prediction, and just my spotty senses, Pittsburgh is going to win this ball game 17-12. Let's go.
Let's get
it. The under is going to hit as well. So take the under in this game for all our bettors out there, gamblers. Pat P, see you when we see you. Go ahead and get you some rest. Ice up, son. Get your body together.
Yes, sir.
You wearing sleeves again?
It depends.
Heck, y'all wore sleeves the last two times you wore them, so you might.
That's what I've been trying to tell you.
Don't give me that. Ain't the reason why you wearing sleeves. That ain't the reason, but you go ahead and.
No, what did I say last week?
I said we had a scrape on your elbow.
I said we won. The first time I wore the sleeves, I was like, I'm going to run it back. And we won.
Hey, you took.
I'm rocking this. Well, we'll see. We'll see. 46 is the high on Sunday. So we'll see.
That's light. That's spring weather.
I understand that, but I want to get the most important thing on Sunday. That's a dub.
Yeah, that's spring weather. 46? That ain't even Steeler weather. When they get in the low 30s, that's Steeler weather.
It don't even matter, 46. Coach. It don't even matter, Coach. I'm trying to get a W.
That's the – well, I just told you, 17-12, four sacks, two turnovers.
You know, I heard – yeah, I got all that.
Now, you go out there and make that come to fruition.
If it's trying to keep me warmer than what I need to be.
I go do it. I ain't going to argue with you. I ain't going to say nothing about it. I'm going to be quiet.
Hey, but you saw – hey, I know you saw them white – them things on my feet, though.
The dunks? The Jordan 1s?
Ooh, they were icy.
You got a Jordan deal?
No, I need one, though.
Yeah, get a joint deal so we can get some Jordans. You heard I said we.
Flip clean. Uncle Jay, man. Holla at your boy, man. I'm trying to.
So we can say.
Get on the team, man.
Yeah, so we try to get on the team. We come as a package.
Yeah, they low key be throwing out my age out there, too, but I'm going to let it slide. But it's all good.
Well, go ahead and use that as motivation because they keep calling you old. Remember that dude from Cleveland called you old last time y'all played? He said you old.
He did. But didn't apologize after the game.
Hey, Pat P.
Hey, man, you gotta love it.
Hey, and don't send me no picture, no Popeyes. I don't want to see
what
no
time
Popeyes.
What time I send you that message? Saturday morning.
That was in the morning time. That's Saturday morning.
What time was it though?
Man, I don't know what it was. 11, 12, something like
that. Was 8 o'clock in the morning. That was 8:37.
Oh, it was early. I know that was. Why are you eating Popeyes for breakfast?
Cause that's a Saturday ritual. That's just what I do.
Are you mad at me because I like a light skin waffle?
You like a half done waffle. Don't call it light skin. Half
it's
done.
It's a light waffle. It's light.
And half done, man.
Hey, don't worry. Waffle House are coming. We got 400 locations to choose from in Georgia in the offseason. We're going to find one. I know that much. And you're going to eat. You're going
to
love it.
433 to be exact.
Be exact. We can go down to Florida. They got 185 in Florida. I know they got one in Fort Lauderdale, too. Off of commercial. Yes, sir. Yeah, we do. We done. All right, Pappy, get you some rest.
All right, baby. Be good.
Yep.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Hosts Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.